in your Holy Ghost authorized Bible, commonly known as the King James Bible. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. And I'd like you to turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. And beloved, this is going to be a very serious message. I really like you to pay very close attention to the preaching of the Word of God. I try not to move around. Try not to leave. We don't want to quench or grieve the Holy Spirit this morning. There's a very, very important message here from the Lord. And I believe that the Lord wants to do a great and mighty work here in the midst of us here this morning. So just pay strict attention to the Word of God. All right, you found your place there in 2 Thessalonians and chapter 1. Chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. All right, now I begin reading there verse 6. Now the Bible tells us, and now you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for thy precious word. Thank you for the power of the word of God. We pray this morning that you'll have the liberty to do thy perfect work in the heart of every individual this morning. We pray if there be any lost sinner here among us, no doubt in a crowd this size, there's surely those who have never been born again and have no idea that if they die, where they spend eternity. But I pray this morning that the Holy Ghost will have the liberty that he so desires to exalt, to magnify, to lift up, to exalt the lovely name of our Savior above every name, the Lord Jesus Christ. We love you here this morning. Father God, help us to give you glory and honor. Help us, Lord, to pay strict attention to the Word of God and save some lost sinner here. Save some. Maybe one, maybe two, maybe three, maybe a whole bunch this morning. Then we pray that you'd send us revival among the saints of God. Revive us again that we might give you glory and honor, that we might live holy lives and lives that will give you glory in everything we do and say. And bless this church for allowing this meeting to go on this week in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen and amen. All right, you may be seated, beloved. I just read probably some of the most solemn words from the Word of God that have to do with these last days. Now, I'm not going to be preaching about the Antichrist this morning, but the Lord willing, I'm going to be preaching about the Antichrist tonight. But what I've just read to you is about the Antichrist. When the rapture occurs, the church of the living God, which you are a member of if you're born again. If you're not born again, you're not a member of the bride of Jesus Christ. Amen? And I would hope that maybe by the time the message is over here this morning, that you'll realize you need to get born again, because it might be your very last opportunity to receive Christ before the Lord takes His bride home to glory. Amen? What I'm about to tell you this morning is so very serious. It's high time that we stop playing church and stop playing Christianity and start realizing that without a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, you are going to be damned. The fact of the matter is, the Bible says that if you've been under the sound of the gospel and you have heard how to get born again and you have rejected the gospel, And then the rapture occurs, and it will occur suddenly. You will not know when it happens. It will come suddenly. The saints of God are supposed to watch for His coming. I'm one of those that believe that Titus there, chapter 2, verse 13, I'm like Paul looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. I'm looking for His coming. Amen. But if you're not born again, you ain't looking for Him. You're more busy in this world. You're more busy delighting in the delicacies of the sins and pleasures of this world. You're more interested in serving the devil, whether you know it or not. You're serving the devil. Not only that, you don't realize it, but you're a child of the devil. Until you become a child of God, you're a child of disobedience. You're a child of wrath. And I pray today you'll realize you don't have to be. You can be a co-heir with Jesus. You can be a child of the living God this morning.
Amen.
I'm telling you here from the Word of God. The Bible tells us here, when the Holy Ghost is taken out of the way, the bride of Jesus will be taken out of the way. When I got born again, I got indwelled of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Glory to God.
Amen.
And the Holy Ghost is going to take me with Him. He's not going to leave one born again believer behind. Amen.
Amen.
However, those who were left behind, who heard the glorious gospel, who did not receive the glorious gospel, the Bible tells us that the Lord is going to send them a strong delusion to believe a lie. And so it is. Now this morning, with the help of the Lord, I like to preach about the mark of the beast. This is the mark of the Antichrist, the mark of the beast. This is something I believe is so relevant today, more relevant today than ever before. I believe we're not only in the right book of the last days of prophecy, I believe we're more than just even in the last chapter. I really believe with all my heart we're in the last paragraph. It's just a matter of days, maybe a matter of hours. The Lord could come in any moment. There's absolutely nothing that needs to be fulfilled in order for Jesus Christ to come back.
Amen.
And I'm not just telling you this in order to scare you. I'm not trying to threaten you. I'm not trying to simply be theatrical. I'm not trying to simply be illustrative here. The Lord wants you to hear this message this morning because He's a lover of your souls. Amen.
Amen.
Jesus Christ died for you, and He does not want you to be under the wrath of Almighty God. He doesn't want you to suffer the tribulation period. He doesn't want you to go through hell on earth. There will be a hell on this planet before there's a hell that you'll be cast into.
Amen.
Yeah, then, for those that are in hell on this planet will ultimately be cast into the eternal hell, which the Bible calls the lake of fire. And there you will be for all eternity. God doesn't want you to go there. This is not only a description of a terrible time that the earth is going to experience, but it's a description of God's mercy and His forgiveness through the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, I'd like to draw your attention to the book of Revelation. If you have a King James Bible, if you don't have a Bible, just listen. But Revelation chapter 13. I begin reading there verse 16. The Bible says that He calls us all. This is talking about what the Antichrist is going to do upon the earth. And He calls us all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond. Listen. There is no bigotry with the devil. The devil don't matter. He don't care whether you're black or white. He don't care whether you're rich or poor. He don't care whether you're pretty or ugly. He don't care if you're tall or short. He don't care if you're fat or skinny. Hey, there is no bigotry with that devil. He's doing everything he can to secure your destiny with him in the lake of fire. One of the ways he's going to do that is by giving a mark. And the Bible talks about this mark. He said He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark. Notice the emphasis, in their right hand or in their foreheads. See that? So whatever this is, it's going to be in either the hand or the forehead. It's going to, could be very well a tattoo. It could be a biochip. It could be something embedded inside. we don't know for sure what it is, but whatever it is, it's going to be in the skin. Now, it'll either be recognized by others or it'll be invisible. We don't know for sure. But what we do know, it is definitely a mark that the devil and the Antichrist and the false prophet will be able to recognize. That this one world system will be able to recognize. So, we continue there in verse 17, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. A lot of times we concentrate only on the number 666, but according to the Bible, it could be the name of the beast. And it could be the number of his name. Yes, indeed. But here in verse 18, here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast. For it is the number of a man, and his number is 666, the 666. You say, well, Brother Freed, I don't believe any of that. Well, whether you believe it or not, it's in the Bible. And not only is it in the Bible, but the mark of the beast is already here today and has been active for a good number of years. I will tell you that there are many elements in the world today that recognize the emblem and the significance of the beast. If you look at the European Union, they have an emblem. Their emblem is a woman riding on a beast. Now, where in the world did they get that from? Well, they got it from the Bible, but they didn't know they got it from the Bible. The devil has deceived them to believe that this is a good emblem. But the Bible talks about a woman on a beast. You see, the world's already ready for this mark. The world is already ready for the Antichrist. The world is already ready to follow and worship. Now, what happens to these people that get the mark? We continue to read there in Revelation 14. And the third angel, verse 9, and the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, this is what's going to happen to these people. The same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. Can you believe that? These people, whoever they are going to receive the mark of the beast because they have worshipped the beast. They're going to be tormented with fire. They're going to be tormented with fire and brimstone. They're going to have the stench of sulfur among them. And it's going to suffer in the presence of the holy angels and of the Lamb of God. A terrible thing indeed. And the Bible says, and the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. And they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast in his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. See, this is a very serious message, is it not? You have loved ones. See, if you're born again, you got loved ones who are not saved. There's people here in this congregation who are not saved. They've never had a born-again experience. Oh, they might be a good member. You might be a visitor. You might be a friend of somebody that's a member. But unless you have experienced being born again, you are a candidate to receive this mark. The message here is to give you an opportunity to avoid receiving that mark. You don't have to receive the mark. God didn't ordain for you to receive the mark. God created the lake of fire for the devil and his angels. He did not create it for us. But if you go there, it's your own fault. You have condemned yourself by rejecting the grace of Almighty God. Revelation 15:2, and I saw as it were a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, and over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name stand on the sea of brass having the harps of God. Wasn't it beautiful to hear this harp?
Amen. Yeah.
In the tribulation time, we got what they call a martyr's harp. All right, a martyr's harp. In the tribulation time, there will be some, there'll be many who will get saved, praise God, by the witness of the 144,000 Jews. They'll be preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Amen. God will raise up two other mighty witnesses, Moses and Elijah. Got to be. Amen.
Amen.
And He'll raise them up, and they'll be witnesses to the whole wide world. And the whole wide world, those who are worshiping the beast, will hate them and reject them and kill them. But then they're going to resurrect. Amen.
Amen.
And that's going to be amazing, isn't it? So the fact of the matter is, beloved, that those who get saved in the tribulation period, these are people who never heard the gospel before the rapture. These are people who maybe got one of these Bibles. Never read it. But they see the signs. They see all of the tribulation. They see hailstones crashing down upon this earth. 100 pounds. Huh? 100-pound hailstones. They see the sun so hot, it burns the skin off your bones. They hear about Hawaii maybe sinking into the Pacific Ocean. Huh? They said there's amazing things occurring here. Now the Bible says the stars are going to be coming upon the earth. It didn't say it was a comet. It said it was the stars.
Amen.
I studied a little bit about stars. You know, a star could be several thousand light years away, and if the star fell out of its circuit, it would cause so much cosmic disturbance in the atmosphere, it would turn this planet upside down. It doesn't have to crash upon the earth, because if a star crashed on the earth, there wouldn't be no earth.
Amen.
I don't know if you've ever flown over California. Take a plane flight from California, and as you're flying to the East Coast, the pilot says, "Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like you to look to the right of the windows there. You see a humongous crater right there in the earth. You know how that got there? Some kind of meteor or some kind of comet came down upon the earth. They said it must have been like turn this world upside down." Now, I have a hunch as to when that happened, but that's another subject. Amen. But I will tell you, there'll be complete havoc upon this planet.
Amen.
People will be climbing up to the dens and the caves and the mountains and begging God for God to kill them. But God won't kill them. Why? God won't put them out of their misery. Because they repented not of their idolatries. They repented not of their adulteries. They repented not of their fornications.
Amen.
They'll wish that God kills them, and God won't kill them. You want to go through the tribulation period, you've got to be out of your mind. I tell you one thing, if you're not born again and know it, if you're not sure you're saved and know it, you would be an absolute fool to not get saved, knowing what is going to happen upon this planet.
That's right.
This is serious business. When the Bible talks about the seven angels pouring out the seven vials of the wrath of Almighty God, He tells us in Revelation 16, "And the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth. And there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image." This is a terrible time. This is just the first vial. The first vial of the wrath of Almighty God. It will be a terrible time. Does it bother you? Does it make you tremble? Does it cause you to have fear in your heart? I tell you one thing. If you're not sure you're born again and saved by the blood of the Lamb, if you're not sure that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, If you have any doubt whatsoever, I plead with you this morning that you'd make sure that you're saved. Amen? What if the Lord would come before the message is over? You say, well, I don't believe that's going to happen. Well, you can't prove it to me that ain't going to happen. Amen? Yeah, amen. You can't prove it to me that the Lord may not just come here in a matter of moments, in a matter of minutes. You don't know that. You can't guarantee that. But I can guarantee you one thing. When the Lord comes, if you're not saved, you won't be expecting it. You won't be looking for it. The Bible tells us in Revelation 20, and I saw thrones and they sat upon them. And judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus. Now, beloved, there'll be those that are saved in the tribulation period. They're going to have their heads beheaded. Don't worry about it. They're going to get a new head. Amen. Going to be a lot smarter than the head they once had. And they'll get a new body. Amen? And but the Bible tells us there, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, for the Word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Amen. Isn't that something? Now, I don't know what kind of problems you have. Some of you might be, maybe you have cancer. Some of you might have diabetes. Some of you get gray hair. Amen. Some of you got a lot of wrinkles. Some of you are just fat. Some of you are just skinny. Some of you are just plain ugly. Some of you are just beautiful.
Come on, brother.
But it don't matter. Because when the Lord gives us a new body, it's going to be beautiful. It's going to be gorgeous. It's going to be perfect. And it's going to be without sin.
That's right. Amen.
I don't worry about this body. I'm fat, ugly, and bald. So who cares? As long as my wife stays with me, I'm all right. Amen. But I'm going to be living with the Lord in the millennial kingdom for 1,000 years, and then I'll be then following Him on the new earth and the new heavens for all eternity. Amen. That a blessing?
Good.
It's a blessing. Now, beloved, I've read all these scriptures because it's very important to get the foundation, the mark of the beast here. Now, beloved, the mark is, I looked this word up, the mark is either a embedded object or an etching. It's some kind of stamp, kind of like when you brand a cow or a horse. It could be a branding. It could be a tattoo. It could be anything quite like that. Amen? We don't know for sure, but whatever it is, it's not something to have. Amen? We also know that in the tribulation period of time, those who do get saved will not receive the mark.
Amen.
Now, if they don't receive the mark, then I ain't going to receive no mark now.
Amen.
You got it now.
Amen.
Now, in the tribulation time, they will go through suffering, worse suffering that the world has ever experienced.
Amen.
Guess what? No, not a problem for the believer. Many of their heads are going to get chopped off. Gulp.
Yep.
Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. God will give them grace to die. God said they got victory over the beast, over the name of the beast, over the number of the beast.
Yes, sir.
Now listen, this will make a Presbyterian shout. I've been in churches where Methodists, recently I've been in some of our churches and some Methodists are joining the Independent Baptist movement. So we're sick and tired of these dead Methodist churches with these women preachers. No offense to you, dear ladies. Amen. But we want the old-fashioned way. They're joining the Independent Baptist movement. But God forbid they come into a church that's dead like
sir.
Dead like 4 o'clock?
Yep.
Or how about dead like 12 o'clock? Woo!
Yep.
I don't know about you, but I don't like coming to a funeral when I go to church. I want to come to a place that's alive, electrifying, and dynamic.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not talking about bringing no rock and roll music in and get I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about having bingo games on Saturday night.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about people who are saved and got something to shout about. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
You got anything to shout about?
Yeah. Amen. Yeah.
So I don't know how to shout. Well, you do a good job shouting at your wife. You know how to shout at the NFL football game.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, we're not allowed to do that in the house of God. Well, you show me in the Bible where it says you can't do that in the house of God.
Yeah.
All I know is that when that lame person got healed by the power of God in Acts over there, the Bible says he's walking and he was leaping and he was praising God. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. See that? So I don't know how to shout. Well, just force yourself. Well, it won't be real. You'll be real after a while. The Lord inhabiteth the praises of his people. Even if you don't like, even if you don't feel like shouting or praising God, do it anyway.
Amen.
You know why? Because God likes it. There's a lot of times my wife don't feel like patting me on the back, but she knows it's going to encourage me, even when the message is a dump. You ought to tell the preacher, you ought to encourage him after he preaches every message. It don't matter if it's a dud or not. Hey, listen, it won't be a dud if he's preaching from the Word of God. But when you ought to shake his hand and say, preacher, I appreciate the message. Amen! Yeah, that's right. But let me tell you here the scenario that was around back in the days that John is writing this as God's inspiring his word. John lived during the days of the Roman Empire when Nero, the emperor, was reigning. And let me tell you the scenario that was there at that time. Listen up now, it's so very important for you to realize that what we have today was going on back in those days. But number one, they tell us that business contracts among the Romans and the Greeks were signed and sealed with the name of a god or deity. Number two, the merchants were dedicated to a particular god or deity, and one could only join a merchant group by swearing allegiance to the Greek or Roman so-called god or goddess. Number three, the system of commerce meant that all Christians were mostly excluded from commerce by the very nature of the Roman economic system. We're talking about something that went on 2,000 years ago. Number four, Christians would not sign contracts in the name of a divine emperor or demon deity because a signature or allegiance to this beastly system of economics meant that Christians would have to deny God and give credence to a wicked system. Amazingly, Nero Caesar's name, when you add it up numerically, comes to this same number, 666. Now that's what we're experiencing in these last days.
Right.
They want to centralize everything.
Yep.
Right? They're talking about getting a national ID card. From there, they're going to want to put that information and barcode it on your skin. They're already putting these biochips into animals, requiring the animals to have these chips in them. Today, we're living in a time where the mark of the beast is very real and has already been in existence for a good number of years. Now, you say, well, I don't rightly believe that, Brother Freed. Well, according to the patent number 5,878,155, It was issued by the Houston inventor Thomas Heater. And he describes this ability to make an electronic sales transaction. He says, the method for verifying human identity during electronic sale transactions. He said, a method is presented for facilitating sales transactions by electronic media. A barcode or design is tattooed on an individual. Before the sales transaction can be consummated, the tattoo is scanned with a scanner. This, by the way, was patented back in 1999. Isn't that interesting? Now, when barcode came out many, many years ago, actually in the 70s, they were starting to have these barcodes. They came out with the first barcode system and they have several others. But the main barcode that they have is the primary barcode that's on every product that you buy at the supermarket.
Yep.
All right, now, dear brother, I want you to testify with me, confirm that this is accurate. Now, you see here the number 6 right here? See those two thin lines right there?
Mm-hmm.
You see, what does that represent? That number 6?
Mm-hmm.
Number 6, all right. That's good. Now, let's look here to see if this thing, I was trying to see if I could find something. And okay, here it goes, right here. All right, now, right here. See the first two thin lines right here? See that?
Mm-hmm.
Is there a number underneath there, right underneath it? No. Not right underneath it. There's a number underneath all these other ones, right? See, look at that middle two thin line. See that?
Mm-hmm.
Is there a number underneath that?
Mm-hmm.
What about the last two thin lines?
Nope.
No. What do those two thin lines represent? The number 6.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right? Oh, we don't believe him. Okay, then let me ask him. See, right? Let me get right back over here now. Right here. Look at this right here. See that? Right here, two thin lines. What's that number?
6.
See that? Mm-hmm. See that, ma'am? Just in case he's lying.
Yeah.
All right? Look at these two thin lines here. First two thin lines,
mm-hmm.
No number.
No number.
Middle two thin lines,
yeah.
No number.
Yeah.
See that?
Sure.
The last two thin lines, any number?
No number.
What do those two thin lines represent?
6.
Number 6. What you have here is 666.
Yes.
Now, why don't they tell you about that? Why don't they tell everybody that every time they use a product in the supermarket, they're scanning this number that begins with 6 in the middle, has 6, and at the end is 666. Why don't they tell people about that? They won't tell people about it because they don't want to scare anybody.
Right?
But we already are doing it. We're already buying and selling with that number. The only difference is it's not on the skin yet. See that? The barcode is not embedded on the skin, but it's on things like that.
Yep.
Listen, when you buy a tire from Walmart, they have these RFID tags, radio frequency tags.
Yep.
They can tell, when they have enough towers, eventually they'll be able to tell that you took that radio and you didn't pay for it.
Yep.
They'll be able to trace it right back to your house. But your clothes are going to have, if not already have, these RFID tags embedded in the fabric of your clothes. They know where you buy your clothes. They know where you live. You won't be able to get away. You won't be able to get away from this mark. It will be everywhere. See that? Now, beloved, we have the mark of the beast today. The system of the mark of the beast is already active today. The only next step they have to do now is require it to be barcoded or put in our skin. Does that worry you? Does that bother you? Well, if you're saved, it ought not to bother you. If there's a loved one that you have that's not born again, it ought to bother you. You don't want them to get the mark of the beast now, do you? Well, they will. They surely will. Bible talks about these marks. This mark is not a new thing. It's been around for a long time. And Genesis chapter 4 tells us that Cain and Abel, you know what happened to Abel? What happened to Abel? Cain killed him. Cain committed the first murder by a human being. God gave him one chance to bring the sacrifice. He didn't bring the sacrifice. He brought the works of his hands. Now, just assume that door is open there. God opened the door. God gave Cain a second chance. And what did he tell Cain? He said, sin lieth at the door. Now you do a word study on that word sin, and you compare it there in the book of Leviticus in the King James Bible, it's also translated sin offering. What I believe what happened there is the Lord brought him maybe a lamb, no doubt. Brought him a lamb, brought it to the door, opened the door, and said, now Cain, come and get that lamb, amen, and kill it, and do the right thing. Then I'll accept it. So that, what did Cain do? He didn't. He didn't get that sin offering. Sad, isn't it? God gave Cain a second chance. And then God said because he had rejected him, that Cain was worried about that anybody would, God had cursed Cain, right? He would be a vagabond in the earth, right? And then Cain said, well, the punishment is too much for me to bear. So what did God do? God put a mark on him. See that? So that anybody that would find Cain would not kill him.
Right.
Now that mark, as far as we know, was never removed from Cain. Cain was a marked man.
Right.
Cain never had another chance to be saved.
Right.
Are you hearing me now?
Amen.
So the fact of the matter is that when you get that mark, you never lose the mark. The mark is in your skin, on you, whether it's visible or invisible. We don't know. But we know one thing. You don't ever lose it.
Amen.
So what I'm trying to tell you here this morning is if you're not sure you're saved, why don't you make sure? Why would you risk getting a mark that will never be removed and will condemn you for all eternity in a lake of fire? Now listen, I'm almost done. I know I'm going a little bit over here than normal, but I got started a little bit later, which is okay, right? It don't matter to you anyway. You got nothing else to do this afternoon. Now listen to me. This is an important message. It's important enough to not think about what's in the microwave, amen, or the oven. But as definite as this mark is, God has a mark too, by the way. Amen? Yeah, God has His own mark. And because I don't have time to read all this, but remember the book of Esther there? The Bible talks about when the king is going to make a decree so that the Jews can defend themselves, right? He says, write ye also for the Jews, as it liketh you in the king's name, and seal it with the king's ring. For the writing which is written in the king's name, and sealed with the king's ring, may no man reverse.
Amen.
Amen. Alright. So what happened is there, the king took his ring, he had a little clay glob, you might say, on a document. The document said the Jews could defend themselves. He'd take his ring, his signet, and he would embed it inside the clay, which would also stay and seal that document. And the Bible said no man could reverse it.
Right.
See that?
Right.
Now guess what? I have a king in heaven, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, amen, that put his signet on my soul. Amen. And once they put that signet on my soul, not even the devil can snatch the seat away. I'm sealed by the Holy Ghost. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, whereby grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. I'm sealed. I got a mark on me when I got born again. It's called the earnest of my inheritance. You know, when you buy a house, you know you've heard this before. You got to put the earnest money down. That's telling the seller that you mean business. The Holy Ghost puts some earnest money down. It's called the blood of Jesus. He said, I'm coming to collect one day. Amen. He's going. He's going. Every time that wicked devil accused the brethren night and day, the earnest of our inheritance speaks louder than words. Shut up now, devil. Shut up now, devil. Look at the earnest of the inheritance of the saints. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. You can't touch him. Can't touch him. You can't steal him. You can't kidnap them. No. Yeah. Now I did a little word study on that word there about the mark, the signet there, that clay. And it's an amazing thing that it's translated in the Bible. If you want to know what Bible words mean, just look it up everywhere it's translated in the King James Bible. Do you know that the King James Bible is a walking dictionary all by its lonesome? Amen. Now, I'm not trying to discourage you from study now, no. But I'm trying to tell you, if you want to know what a word means, look it up everywhere it's been translated in your King James Bible. You'll discover what it really means. Amen. Well, the next time this word is used, it's used there. We talk about Noah's Ark. I don't know if he'll bring this out. Maybe he will. But the Bible said they were to take pitch, amen, and put it in the, you know, the crevices, the cracks between the woods. Amen? Why? Because it formed a sealant, so it wouldn't allow the water to come in. If the water comes in, the ark is going to sink. Amen? See that when God tells you to put pitch in something, it means it's going to be sealed. Amen? And that's why the ark, Noah's ark, is a wonderful type of eternal salvation. Because once you get into the ark, amen, you'll never sink. Glory. You'll never drown, glory to God. Amen. You're sealed. You hear me? You're sealed.
Amen.
That pitch, that's the same kind of clay that the king put a signet in there. And then they also took the pitch. Now when baby Moses was going to be killed, amen, the mother made the bull rush. Remember that little basket? What did she do? She put that pitch in there to seal it so that baby Moses wouldn't drown. Isn't that great? But what's so amazing about this word, the word pitch, is not translated too many times. But it's also translated, if this will make you shout, you just might as well admit, you're either not saved or you're backslidden. But it's translated in your King James Bible, 71 times is translated by the word atonement. Amen! Glory! 7 times is translated purge. 4 times is translated reconciliation. 3 times is translated reconcile. 3 times is translated forgive. 2 times is translated purge away. 2 times is translated pacify. 2 times is translated merciful. 1 time is translated cleanse. 1 time is translated disannulled. 1 time is translated appease. 1 time is translated put off. 1 time is translated pardon. And this particular variation of the word pitch is translated pitch only 1 time. You know what that means? That means that when they use that pitch, it symbolized atonement. Atonement. Atonement.
Man.
That our sins will be covered.
That's right.
We would be sealed from condemnation. We'd never have to worry about going to hell in that 1 minute.
Amen.
Not one day.
Amen.
Never worry about hell again.
That's right.
Amen.
It's a blessing, isn't it?
Yes. Amen.
Praise God for that. Now, I'm almost done here. I'm almost done. Believe it or not. Now, I don't go by Gentile time. I go by Jewish time. But Ezekiel chapter 9, a very interesting chapter. Just listen now. We don't have time to turn these passages. But the Bible said, the Lord said unto him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and that cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof. He said, I'm setting a mark on these people that are crying and sighing. These are the people that are crying and sighing over the abominations of the land. Have you ever cried out to God and said, oh God, oh God, we're killing a half to a million babies a year. Oh God! Oh God! The epidemic of sodomy everywhere. Oh God! They're kicking God out of our schools. Oh God! They're kicking God's name out of the government.
Amen.
When's the last time you cried out to God? Beg God for mercy upon this land before He utterly destroys it. The Bible said they put a mark on those that were crying. Does it bother you we're living in a wicked society? Does it bother you we're living in a loose society? Does it bother you, honey? Does it bother you? Or has your heart grown cold? I'll put a mark on you, all right? Just don't let it fall off now. There's a mark for him. Here, son. Not there. Keep that on you now. You don't mind me putting a mark on you, do you? Of course not. There you go. Keep that mark on you now. Can I put a mark on you? Yeah. I know this is a terrible illustration of what I've just read, but it's something to behold here. Can I put a mark on you? All right. God bless you. Sir, can I put a mark on you? Yeah, okay, I'll make sure it don't fall off now. I'm not the Holy Spirit. So the angels sent over the city. Now I want you men, I want you to cry and I want you to moan and I want you to sigh about all the abominations in the United States of America. Come on, I'm waiting now. Moan and cry. Come on. Come on louder now. Come on now. Moan, cry. Come on.
Oh, Lord, help us.
Maybe we can help them out here a little bit. Come on, let's moan and cry. Come on, moan and cry. Come on, moan and cry. You complain all the time anyway. You ought to be used to it. Come on, moan and cry. Come on, moan and cry. Come on now.
Oh, yeah, we need you to cry out for God.
Need to cry out to God for help. Amen. Forget about God. Bless America. He ain't going to bless America while we're shedding innocent blood on this land. The angel's going to come. And those that got the mark, they ain't going to be destroyed. But look at those. Now keep that on your head for a moment. Look at what happened to those that don't have it. He said, and to the others, those are the ones that didn't get the mark, he said in my hearing, go ye after him through the city and smite. And let not your eyes spare, neither have ye pity. Slay utterly old and young, both maids and little children and women. But he said, but come not near any man upon whom is the mark. And notice here, he said, and begin at my sanctuary. Ha! Begin at my sanctuary! Hey, judgment must begin at the house of God! Amen! We're so critical, we're so judgmental looking at the outside. Why don't we do an inventory of the inside? Yeah. He said those that didn't have the mark, he said, I'd go ahead and destroy them. He said, start at my sanctuary. Say that, boy, that's convicting right there. Start at my sanctuary. Now listen, If you either have two marks. You're either going to have two marks. You either have the mark of God because you're saved, or you're going to get the mark of the beast, or you may already have gotten some kind of mark, because some have been turned over to a reprobate mind to do those things that are not convenient. Say, when God gives you over to a reprobate mind, you might as well just say you got the mark, because you ain't going to get another opportunity to be saved. You say, I can get saved any time I want. It's not true. I wish it was true, but it ain't true. Well, why does it say in Jeremiah chapter 8, it says there the harvest is past, and the summer is ended, and they cried out, and we are not saved. You can't just get saved any time you want. Now, if God's visiting you today, you know He's visiting you because He's convicting you. He's bothering you about this. See that? He's visiting you today. But it may be too late tonight. It may be too late tomorrow. See that? So, yeah. This is pretty clear. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. What is the seal? The Lord knoweth them that are His. Woohoo! And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. You don't come and tell me, I got the seal, Brother Freed. Yeah, you got the seal, and you're living like the devil. Don't you lie to the Holy Ghost. Don't tell me you got no seal. Don't tell me you got some seal on you when you're living like the devil. You know, when a person gets saved, they get changed. Isn't that what the Bible said? Old things are passed away. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new.
Amen.
We don't live like we used to live.
Good.
Say that? We're not the old drunk we used to be. We're not the old heroin addict we used to be. We're not the old sodomite we used to be. We're not the old prostitute that we used to be. We're not the old fornicator like we used to be. Amen. We are changed. We are changed. Amen. There's a difference now.
Amen.
We hate that which we love. We love sin, now we hate it.
Amen.
That's right.
We hate sin. We hate sin in our life.
Yes. Amen.
Before I got saved, I was a profane person. Every other word came out of my mouth was a four-letter word. It was horrible, horrible. But when the Holy Ghost started to reside in me, every time I cursed, the Holy Ghost sent a shockwave into my heart.
Yep.
Pierced my heart with conviction.
Right.
It wasn't long before I said my last curse word. My last curse word I ever committed that I can remember, it's been almost 32 years ago. See, there's a change that takes place. I don't want to desire the things I used to desire. Now I desire heavenly things. Now I desire to be in the Word of God. Now I desire to be in church. Amen. Now I desire to pray. Amen. Now I desire to love my enemies.
Amen.
I've been changed. That doesn't mean I'm sinless, but it means I'm going to be sinning less and less.
Hello.
That's what it means.
Because
I got the Holy Ghost inside me. And that Holy Ghost inside me is not going to let me do the things that I used to do. Oh, no. See, the Bible says, if you walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. All right? So I'm done right now. I'm done. You're either going to have the mark of God. By the way, those 144,000 going to get the mark of God.
Amen.
Yeah. Revelation 7 says, and after these things I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth. And the wind, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. Kind of sounds like Ezekiel there. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. What is he going to do with the seal? He cried with a loud voice. You don't like it loud? It's going to be loud in heaven. Amen! Throw amplifiers. Throw your stinking ear amplifiers away!
Amen.
You're going to have supersonic ears because they're going to be real loud for all eternity.
Amen.
And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels He said, to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. Now you can take those off now. I believe with all my heart that I have, no doubt, I have an invisible seal of God on me.
Amen.
It's in me. It's in me.
Yep.
That's right.
Now when we're filled with the Holy Ghost, I think you can see that. I think you can see a God-fearing Christian. You can tell by their godly countenance that they're different.
Yep.
When they're not filled with the Holy Ghost, you know, the shine is not as bright.
Oh.
Amen. But when they're filled with the Holy Ghost, amen, and they're living for God, it's shining brightly. Now listen, you got a choice to make here this morning. If you're not born again, you either already have the seal of the devil on you, and you're going to get the seal of the Antichrist in you if the rapture was to happen today, or you're one of those who have been born again and know it, and God gave you the seal of the Holy Ghost. Now the choice is yours. Now, I like to have heads bowed this morning. And I like to, if we have that piano player to come, I want you to play something really softly. I want to ask you this question. Some are already coming to the altar. It's good. I want you to think about these words right now I'm about to tell you. I want you saints of God to be praying right now while she plays real softly here. Now, I don't know who you are. I only know a couple of you people. I've got to talk to you. And I've learned to love you. It's a blessing to be here. But there's no doubt in my mind. I don't want anybody to leave right now unless they absolutely have to. I mean, it's an emergency. I want the saints of God to pray with your whole heart. I want you to pray for two things. Number one, God do a work in me. Then number two, God do a work in those who are lost. 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 Do a work in those who are lost.